Somehow there are people who believe that heaven will be a boring place. But what they're doing, they're comparing heaven to earth. And you can't compare the two, can you? There's no comparison. Consider this epitaph that somebody placed on a gravestone. Listen to this. Here lies a poor woman who always was tired, for she lived in a place where help wasn't hired. Her last words on earth were, "Dear friends, I am going where washing ain't done, or nor sweeping nor sewing. And everything there is exact to my wishes, for where they don't eat, there's no washing of dishes. Don't weep for me now, don't weep for me ever. I'm going to do nothing forever and ever." Now, while her thinking, yeah, it's okay to giggle a little bit and smile, it's okay. But while her thinking may be fulfilled in that all of her wishes will be fulfilled in heaven, heaven's not a place where she's going to just be doing nothing. If we got up there and all we did was nothing, that would be boring, would it not? I don't like to be bored. Quite the contrary, heaven's not boring. I want to take a few scriptures this morning and give you five reasons why heaven will not be boring. First off, heaven will not be boring because God is not boring. Call your attention to Psalm chapter 16 and verse 11. And I'm just going to be putting these just a verse or two up on the screen, so I'm not going to ask you to turn to a particular place in your Bible. Just follow along with me. But Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." If I'm standing at the right hand of God, which is a position of God's favor, by the way, I don't think I'd call that a place that's going to be boring, would you? That's got to be one of the most exciting things that I can possibly think of. So where did this idea come from that God and His heaven are boring? Randy Alcorn, in his book about heaven, and I'm not promoting his book, this is just something from it, he said, "Our belief that heaven will be boring betrays a heresy that God is boring. There is no greater nonsense. Our desire for pleasure and the experience of joy come directly from God's hands. He made our taste buds, adrenaline, and the nerve endings that convey pleasure to our brains. Likewise, our imaginations and our capacity for joy and exhilaration were made by the very God we accuse of being boring. Are we so arrogant that we imagine that human beings came up with the idea of having fun? The very qualities that you and I admire in others, every one of them are true of God. He is the source of everything that you and I find fascinating. Who made Bach, Beethoven, and Mozart? Who gave them their gifts? Who created music itself and the ability to perform it? All that is admirable and fascinating in human beings comes from the Creator. It is not God who is boring. It's us. Did we invent wit and humor and laughter? No, God did. We'll never begin to exhaust God's sense of humor and His love for adventure. The real question is, how could God not be bored with us?" End of quote, by the way. How could God not be bored with us? You ever have the feeling that maybe God is bored with us? That He enjoys more hearing the angels that He created praise Him than He does the ones that He bought with His blood? I don't like to think about that, but it's possible. But God is not boring, and neither will heaven be. I believe it'll be so exciting and more exciting than our feeble minds can imagine it to be, right? It's going to be much more exciting. And what excites me the most about heaven is that Jesus is there and I will be there in the same place and not the alternative. I know that because I've received Christ as my Savior. A second reason that is, not only is God not boring, but heaven will not be boring because you will not be boring. Call your attention again to the Scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. There's what I want you to hang on to. We're going to be changed. Now, we can kind of understand now that God is not boring, right? God's not going to be boring, right? Amen? Or yes, indeed, we got that God's not boring. But it might take a little bit more faith to believe that we will not be boring throughout all eternity. The reason we will not be boring is in these verses we just read. It says that we will be changed. We're not going to be the same as we are now. We're going to be changed. Paul said in Philippians that our lowly bodies will be changed to conform to his glorious body. It makes it a little easier to understand. We may not be the most vibrant characters on earth, but don't get down on yourself because you're going to be changed. You're going to be different when you get to heaven. Again, it's not only can you not compare heaven to earth or earth experience, but you cannot compare what you're going to be in heaven with what you are now. The Bible says that we're going to be changed. We'll be different people in heaven because the Bible says that we will be conformed to the image of Christ. And if we're conformed to the image of Christ, that is a big change, is it not, from where most of us are now, including me. So we have confirmed that God won't be boring, right? Amen. God is not boring. And we're confirmed, we've just confirmed that we won't be boring because we'll be different people in heaven. But what about the rest of the people that are going to be in heaven? Won't they be boring? After all, these people make church boring sometimes, don't they? Out on a limb. But heaven will not be boring because neither will your friends be boring in heaven. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, they're not going to be boring. Call your attention to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22. It says, but you came to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. So your imperfect brothers and sisters in Christ will be made perfect in heaven. The book of Hebrews there tells us that we're on our way to the heavenly Jerusalem, the location of the spirits of those righteous who have been made perfect. We're going to spend eternity with this innumerable company of angels. All the Old Testament saints, the entire church of Jesus Christ will all be there when we get there to heaven one day. Won't that be great? Amen. Heaven will be the most exciting place you could imagine, filled with exciting, changed people. Amen and amen. Because even at our best here on earth, we sometimes wonder about people's motives and their meanings and why did they say this and why did they say that? Why did that person do that? Why did they do this and that? And are they crazy? Are they out of their mind? How come they did this? If it was me, I wouldn't have done that. Why did they do all these things that we come up with? But in heaven, that'll all be gone. There will be complete honesty and openness to one another, fear and ulterior motives and manipulation that people get involved in. All of these things that separate us from one another on earth will be gone in heaven. It's hard to imagine, is it not? It's hard to imagine such an environment because we're so used to being in that environment, right? We're so used to being in this environment of having people in our lives that we can't fully trust, or that are not always honest with us, or that try to deceive us, or try to manipulate us to get their ways. We all know people like that, right? But in heaven, there won't be that kind of manipulation, that kind of dishonesty. There won't be someone saying or trying to manipulate you so that they can get closer to the throne. There's not all of these things of going on in heaven, because we'll be changed. We'll be changed. Think about the opportunity of fellowship that there will be in heaven. Fellowship with those like Abraham and Moses and Joshua and David and Daniel and Peter and Stephen and Paul and all the many others that we read and studied about in the Bible will be there. Wow, right? What about the great preachers of God like Charles Spurgeon and Keith Garland? Had to break it up a little bit. God forgive me for what I just said. I need to ask for forgiveness, Melon. That was bad. What about the missionaries like Hudson Taylor, William Carey, and all of those guys that have gone and gave their lives for the mission field and won many, many, many people to Christ? They'll be there. Grandma and Grandpa and great-grandma and Grandpa and all the family who were among the saved who went before us, they'll be there. They'll all be there. Not everyone will be there, but those who trusted Christ will be there. So are you bored yet? Now don't think about us. Well, it's kind of boring in here this morning, preacher. I mean, we're up here doing all kinds of things and trying to not get them bored, aren't we? Are we, brother? Yeah. Great singing.
Amen.
Amen. There you go. But if you stop and spend a moment thinking about what it's actually going to be like in heaven, boredom will be the last thing that's on your mind. It really will. It's exciting to think of it. A fourth thing is heaven will not be boring because your work up there will not be boring. Call your attention to Revelation chapter 7 and verse 15. Listen to this. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. When I was growing up, I don't really remember too many times when I was bored. I just wasn't bored. And if I was bored, I didn't dare tell my dad that I was bored because he'd be sure to find me something to do where I would be less bored. And, you know, I didn't even have a video game in the house. So we had to play outside. We had to go fishing, ride our bicycles, and stuff like that that kids ought to be doing today, right? I always busied myself, it seemed like, with something. But in heaven, you won't be bored either because you'll always have something to do. And I was thinking about it when I read that verse, and it said that we'll serve Him in the temple day and night. Now that wording in there, day and night, is just something that'll help us understand better, right? Because there's not really going to be day and night in heaven. And there's also not going to be seconds and minutes and hours and days and weeks and months and years in heaven. So if you're thinking about, all I'm going to get to do in heaven is serve God in the temple day and night, same old thing, over and over, over and over. Well, you're not going to realize any passage of time because that's eternity, right? We can't, when we go into eternity, God hasn't measured it out like that. And I believe, now this is, I'll step away from the pulpit because this is kind of my opinion, but I believe it's right. I think that when I get to heaven, you're going to be there at the same time. Because I've stepped out of time into eternity, and I think I'm going to be there the same time as my grandparents that died 30 years ago. They're not going to realize the passage of time because it's eternity, right? It kind of makes sense, doesn't it? It seems like we'll just all be there at the same time. And, you know, we always talk about, well, so-and-so is going to be there that, you know, my grandpa's been there and he's been waiting on me to get there for 30 years. He died in 1977. That's more than 30 years, I think. Maybe a little bit. But I think when I get there, it'll feel like we've always been there together. That's a nice thought anyway, isn't it? But it makes sense to me. There's no time in heaven, so how will he know that it was 50, 60, 70 years since he died between the time he died and the time I died, right? Of course, I hope that Jesus comes back and I don't have to die, right? I hope that Jesus comes back and he just takes us up there. Well, wouldn't that be great? I think there's not a better time in history where that might be true, right? All throughout the book of Revelation, it speaks of service taking place. I don't know what kind of service, all the different things that we might do in heaven, but I know that there's going to be plenty to do. If service is taking place, then there has to be servants to do the service, right? There has to be servants if there's service. I don't think Jesus is going to say to you and me, well done, good and faithful servant, and then just turn us loose and say, have fun throughout all eternity. I think we'll have to go with what else he said in that verse. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I don't believe that the work that you'll be given in heaven will be anything compared to what we have here. I don't know about you, but on my job, my secular job, I get bored sometimes. I do. I've been doing the same thing, it seems like. It's just repetitious. You just come in, you know what to do, and this. And the crew that I've got working there with me, most all of us have been there 10 years plus. It's kind of an unusual situation. There's really not any newbies there. And that's a great group of people to manage, by the way, in my position, because they just all know what to do. They come in, they know what has to be done. The place would probably run if I was, whether I'm there or not. But sometimes I get bored. It's just the sameness, right? Isn't that how we get bored? The sameness of things, the same old thing over and over. We get bored. I've got a computer screen off on the side of my desk up there, and it's cameras. I can see all around the outside of the building, all inside the building. And I saw a tractor trailer truck coming through the gate out there, and I thought, you know, we don't get tractor trailer trucks very often. So I thought, I'm going to go outside. And so it was some supplies and stuff. And so I just stayed out there and helped the guys unload that truck. Because it's something different, right? Something different to do. Enjoyed it. Unload the truck. But in heaven, our work's not going to be boring. It's not going to be that way. It won't be the kind of work that we just show up to draw a paycheck. Like so many people do today, right? Just show up, pay me, I'm doing my thing, I'm going home. This will be work that we really enjoy. There's not too many people that work really that really enjoy their job, right? Truth be known, we are just going to get the paycheck so we can pay our bills, right? That's what you do. You work, you get paid, you pay your bills. I don't know about you, but my money goes in my hand, it's goes out just as fast. I never really get to, maybe I don't grab it fast enough. It's flying through there so fast. All this technology that they got now. You know, it'll go in, my paycheck will go in on Friday, and on Monday, the mortgage company sucks out their piece of it. It just goes bing, bing, and it's gone. I never get a chance. It's a good thing because I might spend it, and then the mortgage company wouldn't get their part. And they probably wouldn't be too happy about that, right? God's not boring. You're not going to be bored or be boring to others like you are here, right? I'm boring. You probably say, you're boring, preacher. You're boring. You talk too much and it's too long and so forth. Susie and I listened to a pastor friend of ours on the way up here this morning, and he preached from Ridgeland all the way up here, and I had to turn him off because I had to come in here. And I said, boy, he's windy. He preaches a long time. He said, yeah, man, he's preaching a long time. Maybe you might get bored, right? A fifth thing, and then this is the last thing. So it won't take more than 30 minutes. Heaven will not be boring because heaven is a place that you've always longed for. It's a place you've always longed for. Again, I call your attention to the scriptures. Romans chapter 8, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Within every Christian, there's a hunger that's waiting to be fulfilled. Now, there first was a hunger that you had for salvation to replace that missing part in your life that only Jesus can fill, right? And there's so many people today that still have that empty place in their heart that only Jesus can fulfill. But then there's this hunger that we have after we're saved, especially the longer that we're saved, right? And the older that we get, that hunger gets even more so of having the fulfillment of our salvation and be with Jesus in heaven, right? Forever. This hunger. It's as if we know that something, there's something more to this. There's something that's missing. And it's the fulfillment of our salvation is what's missing. And that is completely fulfilled in heaven. Mark Buchanan, in his book, Things Unseen, said this. Here is the surprise. God has made us this way. He made us to yearn, to always be hungry for something we can't get, to always be missing something we can't find, to always be disappointed with what we receive, to always have an insatiable emptiness that no thing can fill, an untamable restlessness that no discovery can still. Yearning itself is healthy. It's a kind of compass within us that points us to the true north. We go through life, many of us, trying to climb the ladder, trying to better ourselves. And when we get there, it's not what we thought it would be. Myself, I haven't grown to great heights in the secular part, but I always had a drive and an ambition in the workplace to do better. And mainly it was fueled by wanting to make more money, just to be honest with you. that's what we want, right? Out there, right or wrong. But when I went from just being a jewelry repair person at the workbench, just coming in there, doing that every day, I went from there to managing groups of jewelers. I quickly found out it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. Don't we see that? Don't we sit back here and we look at the boss and we say, man, that cat has got it made. That's what they always say about me now, that they don't know. Man, he's got it made. They put him on a salary. He don't have to punch the time clock anymore. He just comes and goes as he pleases, and everything's just great. But it's not. It's not great. It's not great at all. Because now I have to be concerned with budgets and money and pleasing corporate and all these kinds of things that go together and all these things on and on. As they say, it ain't cracked up, ain't what it's cracked up to be, right? So we do this climbing thing and we get there and it's not what we thought it would be, because really nothing on earth will ever satisfy us completely, will it? It won't satisfy us completely. We like to get new things once in a while, don't we? I used to buy new cars. I don't buy new cars anymore. I like to buy them when somebody else has already paid the depreciation on them. But you know, you like to get it, and boy, a new car smells so good, don't it? You get in, it smells so good, and your friends come around you, and they wow and ooh and ah over your new ride for about a week, don't they? Then it's just a ride. It's just a ride. It's there, it's nice at the time, but it never really completely satisfies, because we were created for a perfect heaven that can't be found on earth. We were created to be with Jesus in a perfect environment full of perfect people and perfect surroundings, and that's not on the earth, is it? There is no such place as heaven on earth. If we find heaven on earth, it'll only last a little time, because somebody will come in and screw it up, won't they? They'll screw it up. But all the voids that we fill in this life is like our compass pointing us to the place where we belong. I tell you what, the closest place I like to be, and it should be, the church should be the closest place to heaven on earth, right? When we come to church, it should be the closest place. It's not always like that, though, is it? But it should be. When I get to heaven, everything that I do is going to bring me satisfaction and reward. When I get to heaven, I will never engage in anything that where I leave feeling empty. I'm not going to have that empty feeling anymore, because I'll be fulfilled. Won't that be great? Amen. When I get to heaven, everything I do is going to bring me absolute fulfillment and great joy unspeakable. Amen. By the way, the Bible says we can have some of that now. We can have great joy unspeakable in our hearts right now. If we don't have it, guess what? You're boring. That's what you are. But smile. It's wonderful to be saved, is it not? It's wonderful to know Jesus. Wonderful. The reason that you're not going to be bored in heaven is because heaven is everything that you've longed for. And I don't think we'll really realize it till we get there, do you? We don't really can't comprehend it. It's everything we've always longed for. That's why it's called heaven, right? That's why it's called heaven. If you think that heaven will be disappointing in some way, remember the alternative to heaven, right? 2 Thessalonians 1:9, that's not on the screen, but it says they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. Consider the alternative of not going to heaven. A It says suffering the punishment of eternal destruction, banned forever from the presence of God. Have you made sure that you've made preparation to be in heaven and not the alternative? If you believe Jesus and you've trusted Him as your Savior, then heaven is yours. Amen. And I'm looking forward to it. Heaven will not be boring. Heaven's going to be exciting, but you got to know Jesus in order to be there. Right? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the prospect of heaven. There's not a single sermon that could ever be preached that would describe heaven accurately. We only know from what we can compare to on earth as what heaven might be like, and there's no comparison. But Lord, we trust you, and we do know for a fact that in order for us to get to heaven, we've got to trust Jesus as our Savior now, while we're living here, while we've got our minds here. Father, I pray today if there's someone here that needs to trust you as Savior, that will be done during this invitation time.